thank you for tuning in to the Movie Geeks United 2013 Slam Dance Spotlight. Tonight, we explore Slam Dance TV, an online interactive experience that allows a front row seat to the festival happenings from anywhere in the globe. You can read more about Slam Dance TV at slamdance.com. In this conversation, we speak with Ben Heathcote, the host of Slam Dance TV, as well as Kevin Brennan, one of the stars of the Slam Dance TV series, Modern Imbeciles, Idiot's Guide to Making Movies for Dummies. First of all, Ben, tell me about Slam Dance TV. Tell me what it is and everything you can about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Slam Dance Film Festival, as we know, is this film festival that's really become a safe haven for the rejects. You know, Slam Dance was birthed because a few filmmakers were rejected from Sundance, and they were just too stubborn to take no for an answer, so they created their own renegade film festival. So over, you know, the festival's been going on now for 19 years, but over the last couple of years with the development of the web and web series, we really wanted to have a place for Slam Dance to live online and create online content that not only showcases Slam Dance film, like shorts or trailers of some of our competition films, but also takes the Slam Dance experience and showcases it to people who otherwise can't make it to Park City. So we create original content, filmmaker interviews. We record coffee sessions. Like last year, we had Neil Young and Stan Lee, and we just create content. We try to bring the festival to a greater audience. That's really what we're trying to do with Slam Dance TV, and we're trying to make it much more than typical festival coverage. We embrace the themes of the films each year, and we try to do something collaborative and something creative with the filmmakers, because we are a film festival by filmmakers for filmmakers. We don't just want to do a talking head interview.
I understand that completely. And one of the things I love about Slam Dance is, and I was talking about this to the founder of the festival just a little bit ago, is that it really does seem to be a very strong sense of community there that is lacking from other festivals. And by community, I mean not just, you know, show your film here and hobnob with other filmmakers during the week the festival's running. I mean, it's an ongoing collaboration where you really feel like they're invested in your progress beyond the life of the festival.
Absolutely. No, I think that's completely true and telling of this festival, and that's why we stand out, in my opinion, among the festivals. We really are by filmmakers for filmmakers. All of the films are programmed each year by alums of the festival. So, you know, the filmmakers for this upcoming 2013 festival, next year we're going to ask them to come back as programmers and help pick out the film slate for 2014. So it is this ongoing community, this community that keeps building and keeps growing, and that's really my favorite thing about the festival, and that's what we want to continue to embrace for sure.
Yeah, and Kevin, tell me about the series. The Idiot's Guide to Making Movies for Dummies? Is that what it is?
the full title, here, get ready for this. It is Modern Imbeciles, Idiot's Guide to Making Movies for Dummies, is the full title. basically what it is myself and my writing and acting partner, Doug Manley, we had a feature play at Slam Dance 2 years ago called Modern Imbeciles Planet World, which is this wacky kind of sci-fi comedy. And we then came back last year to speak to the Slam Dance, you know, sort of community
We have a bunch of Slamdance filmmaker friends who we've met in the past couple of years taking movies up there. And last year we said, well, let's all get together and let's do an anthology where each filmmaker is going to do a different short based on a different holiday throughout the year. So we did 12 different shorts, called it Holiday Road. It turned out really well, and we talked to the powers that be at Slamdance, and we said, hey, guys, look what we did. You know, I mean, if anything, this shows Slamdance community is, you know, in the works. So they said, this is great. You know, let's show it up there. So we played Holiday Road up there last year, which was awesome. And this year, we didn't have a movie that was going in, but we wanted to be a part of the magic somehow. So we pitched to Peter and Ben an idea for a web series where Doug and I would play these ridiculous characters that we created called Don and Lizard Man. Lizard Man is an albino. Don is a mustachioed gentleman. You can check out the web series, you'll get to see it. But basically what the crux of the story is, is our friend Todd Berger, who wrote and directed a movie called The Seamsters, which played Slamdance a couple of years ago. He plays a very put-upon indie film director by the name of Wallace Cotton. And Wallace is gearing up to do his new movie, and this series that we did is sort of the behind-the-scenes of him making that movie, where he was forced to cast Don and Lizard Man to secure foreign pre-sales, much to his chagrin, because these guys are idiots and they ruin pretty much everything that he's trying to do. So each part of it is a different part of the filmmaking process. So part one is casting, part two is directing, part three is acting, part four is editing, and then part five is actually submitting it to Slamdance, where we actually went to the Slamdance offices and shot that episode. And they've been premiering every Thursday. We started them 3 weeks ago, so episode 1 through 3 are up online right now. You can go to the Slamdance TV website and check them out. And then episode 4 drops tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And then episode 5 the following Thursday on the opening day of Slamdance.
So what were the aspects of independent film production that you were most anxious to kind of poke fun of and lampoon?
Myself and Doug and Ben, you know, we've all kind of been on this from the start and writing the scripts and getting it all ready. So we had a lot of fun. I mean, Ben, you know, he's produced a feature. I've produced a couple features myself. And I think it's, you know, when indie filmmakers watch it, it'll kind of be a universal truth. Each episode has its own thing, like the cast process. You know, you're never going to get your dream actor. You know, you're never going to get, you know, Jesse Eisenberg's beer lead to end up with somebody, you know, not maybe as good as Jesse Eisenberg or whatever. The directing episode we did, you know, I mean, any indie filmmaker director, I'm sure, can look at that and say, yep, that's, you know, you try and give these actors kind of meaningful direction and they decide to go off and do what they want to do. We just had a lot of fun lampooning kind of all aspects of it. I think my favorite was lampooning the post-production process, which is the one that drops tomorrow. My personal favorite. So.
Well,
I mean, there's so many aspects of filmmaking that are not seen in the final cut of the movie, and there are so many characters that are on set, and I think what's really fun is that we've been able to embrace that. We've been able to embrace how absurd casting sessions can be, or how frustrating the editing process can be. I mean, these are things that all independent filmmakers can relate to, and hopefully this series speaks to the indie filmmaking audience.
Well, and it also takes a bit of madness and a bit of absurdity just to set out to make a film, you know, in the first place.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So tell me about the audience for Slamdance TV. What have your interactions with this audience been like? What has it revealed to you?
You know, it's been a growing process. I'll say that first off. We really last year we set out on this adventure, and one of our goals was to really help out the filmmaker by giving them a piece that includes an interview, it includes clips from their film, something that they can use to post on other sites and what have you, just a piece of media for showcase. So the filmmakers are definitely part of our audience, but beyond that, we really, with Slamdance TV, we have a great crew. I'll just mention their names, Eric Ekman and Michael Felker. There are three of us, and together we are embracing kind of the original roots of slam dance, this irreverent, anarchy, feral filmmaking. And so we like our pieces to, you know, include bits of narrative and bits of docu feel, but we, you know, we shoot them, we edit them, and we post them, we turn them around all in under 24 hours. So our audiences, the people who can't make it to Park City, and the people who appreciate and respect filmmaking, not only filmmaking, but we have such a diverse lineup of films and so many different events and panels. I mean, for instance, last year, you know, we had Neil Young and Jonathan Demme there with their new documentary. So that was a piece that ended up being picked up by Rolling Stone. I mean, we had the music community, the filmmaking community. We do this this sled off every year. And it's just it's a nice break from the, you know, distribution talks and film talk to just go up to the slopes, illegally, mind you, to the ski slopes and ride these sleds down Park City. And you know, that's a fun piece for, you know, for anyone to watch and enjoy. Some of our stuff is goofy, but some of our stuff is really serious. I think anybody can appreciate at least some of the Slam Dance TV content. I hope so, anyway.
Well, and it really brings the festival directly to them. I mean, like you said, if they're unable to attend, I mean, they kind of got a front row seat to all the big happenings there from home.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was kind of the original mindset and the original goal. And you know, it's great for you know, for me to like show my family and my friends, for instance, like, oh, look at what's happening, look how much fun this is. You know, it's not all work. Festivals are not just about selling your movie or, you know, getting a ton of press. It's about having fun. It's about having fun at Slam Dance anyway, and I think that's something that filmmakers leave feeling. They feel like they had a good time. They feel like they're part of the Slam family, really. And hopefully we capture some of that with these pieces.
Well, what I want to know is, go ahead. I'm so sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think another great thing about Slam Dance TV that differentiates, you know, the experience from other festivals is Slam Dance TV is there year round. You know, it definitely gears up closer to the festival. The more, you know, obviously the more content they can get from the festival. But, you know, we're doing this web series that, you know, started in December, you know, and you know, you look at other festivals' websites and it's, you know, you just go to the festival and that's pretty much the deal. But Slam Dance, because it is such a community and such a tight-knit group of filmmakers, you know, it's something that people think about year-round and are like, yeah, man, you know, I want to check in and see what, you know, is going on over there. And I think Slam Dance TV is a great way for that experience to occur throughout the year, not just in January.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, because I would imagine when you're so anxious and so anticipatory about an event like a Slam Dance Film Festival, and the week probably goes by in a breeze, and then I would think you probably would suffer withdrawals because you have to wait a whole other year before it comes around again. So this is a good way to keep those withdrawals at bay, Slam Dance TV.
Totally. And something else I'd like to add is just that the way in which we go about producing this content is very much like rebel filmmaking. It's renegade filmmaking. I mean, it's me and these two other guys, like I mentioned, and we're running around, we're shooting things on the fly, then we're going into our little closet cubicle space and we're uploading this footage and we're editing it there. We're staying up late into the night. I mean, and it really goes to show you that, you know, with the right people and with a common
goal. You can make interesting and fun content with no budget, with not a real crew. All you need is a camera and an idea and the will to carry through and that's what we've been doing.
I've seen Ben do this for 2 years in a row now, and I don't have my suspicions confirmed, but when he's in Park City, the schedule that he's on and the amount of energy that he has and the lack of sleep he's getting, I think there's drugs involved. I think there's drugs. I'm going to say it here.
Yeah.
You heard it first on this podcast.
Lots of energy drinks.
I'm looking at the website, and you know I'm seeing various episodes handling your actors not in a sexual way from the series. So tell me, when it comes to film production and post production, beyond that, if you were to lampoon the actual film festival experience,
We talked about that a little bit. You know, we talked about having Don and Lizardman come out to the festival. The last episode of the series will give you more insight about their submission process. But we did discuss having lampooning the festival in an even more extreme way. Kevin can probably talk more about that.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of fodder there for sure. One of my favorite things about going to the festivals is, I come from a comedic background, and most of the work I've done is in comedy, and I love it when you meet the people at film festivals who just take it so seriously. And you know, that's great. There's definitely serious work out there that needs to be regarded as such, but I really love meeting, you know, the local people who come to the festivals who consider themselves, or maybe they are, you know, real film buffs, and really get into these deep discussions about movies with you, and that can oftentimes be quite hilarious.
And that's why we do the sled offs. I mean, it's technically Slam Dance versus Sundance Great Park City Sled Off, and you know, for the last decade, Slam Dance has been undefeated. And why is that? Well, it's because nobody from Sundance has shown up. I think Slam Dance does kind of doesn't take itself too seriously, and that's also great. I mean, we do a hot tub summit where we have these alumni and filmmakers who are in the hot tub, you know, talking about the state of independent filmmaking, and it's also clothing optional. And I don't think you'll find those at many festivals.
And that's actually, you know, because I'm thinking about the personality of various festivals, and Sundance included, and there seems to be an element of angst involved in those festivals.
Oh, yeah.
That feels kind of absent from Slam Dance, and as evidenced by, you know, stuff like Hot Tub the hot tub meeting, and you know, it seems like a much more relaxed atmosphere.
Well, I think Slam Dance, you know, it has that going on because it's also one of the rules of Slam Dance is you have to be a first time director, and you know, so you get a group of people up there that no one's jaded yet. You know, everyone's excited; they're stoked that their movie, you know, is you know, what should be or what usually is their first movie getting out to the world. So, you know, it's an atmosphere of excitement and, you know, wanting, you know, people to see your work, and, you know, no one's been beaten down by the system yet. So it's great.
Yeah. But I wanted to know, too, because you'd mentioned Jonathan Demme and Neil Young. Were you able to do those interviews? I mean, were you the one that interacted with them?
You know, we did have some interesting interactions. I did get a brief interview, one-on-one interview with the two of them, and that was one heck of an experience. But also, you know, the Slam Dance TV crew, which last year was only two of us, we had to, like, put the microphones on them, so we're, like, you know, reaching up Neil Young's shirt and hoping that we don't poke him with a little vampire bit, and then the same with Stan Lee, you know, and one funny funny story, actually, is that after the
the coffee session, you know, it went on for like it went on for a couple hours. Afterwards, Neil Young ran. He like jetted out of there. You know, I'm sure he had other things to do, but he went with the microphone. So I literally had to chase him down Main Street once I realized he had the mic still, and he had the lav. And I'm like, Mr. Young, you have the microphone. And at first he just thought I was a nut job, but eventually I got it back. But you know, we've been able to have some pretty bizarre encounters running around with our cameras and our mics.
Well, that's a pretty good day. You're able to reach up the shirt of Neil Young and Stan Lee in the same day.
Yeah.
Well, so finally, tell our audience how they can find the content throughout the festival and your original series this week.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll be posting daily content during the festival and even beforehand on slamdance.com. So if you go to the website, you really can't miss it. Then in the showcase section of the website, you can see some of last year's content, but you can also see the web series there. We're going to be posting away, delivering daily content all throughout the festival, which begins on January 18th.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you both so much for joining me, and I wish you the best of luck with the series and Slamdance TV and during the actual festival. I hope you guys can keep your sanity. It sounds crazy that week.
Yeah, appreciate talking to you. Thank you so much.